Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 14 this morning, talking about the incomparable Christ and the angels. The incomparable Christ and the angels. Let's talk about angels a little bit. You wonder why he uses speaking of angels here. People are often very fascinated with angels. Since angels are spoken of as being in heaven, we often hear someone say when one dies that God must have wanted another angel. Of course, that's another subject this morning. But we want to at least say very simply that that is not true. It's not because God wanted another angel. God always speaks of men and angels of being totally separate beings. Men never are spoken of as becoming angels. In fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:3 that we'll someday judge the angels. Angels are a part of the heavenly host. Of course, we remember it spoken of in that way when the angels appeared to the shepherds. There was one that came and made an announcement, and then in Luke 2:13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." We read of them in Revelation, where there were many, Revelation 5:11. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." Angels around the throne of God. Revelation 7 and verse 11. "And all the angels stood round about the throne." We see the angels, a part of the heavenly host. Angels have been revealed as messengers. Here they've also been shown to us as being deliverers of men. I think of angels that came to Abraham, brought to him a message of how the Lord was going to bless him. Also, he told of Abraham about the destruction that he was going to bring it to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then remember that the angels that went there to Sodom and Gomorrah, that they had to take Lot and his daughters, take his daughters by the hand and forcibly take them out before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came because of the great wickedness that was there. We saw them in the deliverance of the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, where it says they laid their hands on the apostles, where the apostles had been put into prison. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth," and says, "Go stand and speak in the temple." Angels were used there. Remember when Peter was imprisoned for his preaching, there in Acts chapter 12, verse 7 and through verse 10, it says, "The angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. He smote Angel on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And he did so. He said, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.' And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, that it was done by the angel, but thought it was a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street. And then the angel departed from him." Well, what an account of the angel there, the deliverance that was brought there to Peter. With the angel there, the chains just fell off of him as he was in stocks. And then went out through the war. The gates opened of their own accord. Their own accord by the power of God. But certainly there, I mean, we see angels there. The devil even sought to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ at the remember in his temptations in Matthew chapter 4 when the devil was quoting scriptures to the Lord and saying, here, cast thyself down from the temple, because it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Certainly there, and remember in the garden when Peter wanted to seek to fight and bring deliverance to Christ when he was to be taken. Remember what the Lord said to him? He says, think not that I could now pray the Father and he would presently give me 12 legions of angels. Angels are used, and certainly for the deliverance and the deliverance of men. They're involved in spiritual warfare. We see that in the book of Daniel. We see it, in fact, in Daniel, you see it with Michael the archangel, let me go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. They are involved in spiritual warfare. And yet, the angels have not power of their own. They have not power of their own over Satan. We read in the book of Jude where it talks about Michael the archangel. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, and he was not able to bring accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Angels are very interesting, and we see them throughout the scriptures. But there's been false doctrine about the angels. There's been those, even as I mentioned, people think that individuals are going to go and become an angel, which is not what is taught by the scriptures. There was a sect of the Jews called the Qumran community of the Jews at the time of Christ. They had even gone as far to claim that the angel Michael was higher in status than the Messiah that was going to come. One commentator said this: these kinds of doctrinal abbreviations could explain the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 1 on the superiority of Christ over the angels. Sometimes the angels are something they're interesting. We see some of their ministries and what they do. But our text this morning takes us to the person of Jesus Christ and will show us how the person of Christ, as we would seek to compare him to the angels, we will see the incomparable Christ. A little longer introduction this morning as we talked about angels a little. But that helps us to come to this book of Hebrews and to see as he begins here to make a comparison of Christ with the angels. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The first thing he seeks to compare the Lord Jesus Christ with the angels. What does he say? He says, being made so much better than the angels. Being made so much better than the angels. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Here in the comparison, there is the word name. A more excellent name. Name, his name being the Son. In Psalm 2:7, back in the Old Testament, as it spoke, and prophetically of Christ, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Here we have, and here in Hebrews chapter 1, many of the statements that are made here are quotations from the Old Testament scriptures. But that first, sometimes that the very first words of verse 4 have confused some when it says being made. They think of this when this was when he was created. Some translations have translated, though, having become, because this was not his beginning. It is speaking about his existence, being who he is, being who he is. He exists better than the angels. His existence is incomparable to that of the created angels. So having become, being in his existence so much better than the angels. When it says so much better, it's not able to compare. Incomparable to the angels. When you contrast them one to the other, he speaks there as he says, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ has proceeded from the Father. All is his. It belongs to him. By inheritance, we think of inheritance of that which we have when another passes on. But here it is speaking of that which belongs to him, that which is his in the throne, and we'll see that even as we go on. So having become or being in his existence is so much better than the angels, he has that inheritance, and then he says there, he's obtained a more excellent name than they. That name, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Thou art my son. Here we have the name son. He is, and again, when we look at, and we looked at that a little bit before, but it's the idea, the son, not in the sense that he was born from him, but the one that he proceeds out from him. The word son here has the idea of his essential deity. He is God himself. He is son. He is not something that is created afterwards. It has the idea of absolute equality. When we read in here, he says, for unto the angels, did he say to any of them, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee? This is his relationship to the Father. He has been begotten in the son relationship that doesn't have to do with a point in time. We think of begotten when someone is born. It happens in a certain point of time. He's speaking here in relationship to the Father from eternity past. He has always had the same essence as the Father, so the Son. He has had no beginning. So when he says here, he has been made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than these. So as he looks at the angels that they are not deity, they are created spirits, they are created beings such as you and I. And so he says, their name, he is son. He is of the Father. And as we understand that relationship, that he is deity, even as we saw in our last message from verses 1 through 3, his name is incomparable. There's no comparison between Christ, Son, and angels that are created. Look at verse 6. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. What do we see in the comparison here? We see the worship, the worshiper, and we see the one who is the recipient of worship. When it says, when he, here the idea of when he bringeth into the world, when he bringeth into the world, here we have the incarnation, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here we have Christ. Here we have the Son of God come into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what he's speaking of when he bringeth the first begotten into the world. The word here, first begotten, it is the highest position. It's a position of prominence. It is not of the idea of the one who was firstborn, but the position of the firstborn, the position is of the highest position, a position of promise, the extension of all of the authority of the Father. When he come into the world, what does he say? He come into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. In Psalm 89:6, it says, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto him? You see, the heavenly host bows down to him. We see Christ as we look at him in the New Testament when he is confronted with the demonic world. The demons cry out at his presence in subjection to him, where others could do nothing. And there was that satanic power that was there when the Lord Jesus Christ came in their presence. They would cry out in subjection. Satan himself has no power over him. Yes, all of creation, even here we see the angels, and it's emphasizing here angels because it's showing the difference there. Worship him. Who is worshiped? Who can accept worship? God alone can accept worship. The very first commandment, as we have mentioned, is thou shalt have no other gods before me. There is none that can accept worship but God himself. All others are worshipers. Some have sought to have those worship them. We have seen even in the Old Testament scriptures where there were those rulers that wanted ones to bow down to them. We have those in our world today that think man ought to worship them, but there is only one. There's only one true God. There is only one who can be truly worshiped. God is worshiped, and all others must be the worshipers. You see, Christ is the incomparable Christ. He is the incomparable Christ. There is none like him. Then we see in verses 7 and 8, let's look at the throne of God versus the spirits of fire. It says, and of the angels said he, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Here it talks about the angels as being ministers who are spirits of the flame of fire. That's a quote from Psalm 104, verse 4. If you go back and read it, it says, "Who maketh his spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire." One commentator wrote this: "His ministers, a flaming fire. Angels are ministers to God. They stand before him. They behold his face. They wait for and listen to his orders and execute them. They are ministers to Christ. They were so at his incarnation, in his infancy, when in the wilderness and in the garden, at his resurrection and his ascension, and will attend him at his second coming. These are ministers to his people. They take care of them and camp about them, do many good offices to them in life, and at death carry their souls to Abraham's bosom. These are made a flaming fire, or as flaming fire, for their force and power." That's interesting. It's not that he's degrading the angels. He has made them. He has made them as a flaming fire. And they have a very definite purpose. But as we look at that, he says, yes, let all the, he says, the angels, he saith, he makes them ministers of flaming fire, but look at verse 8. But look at the comparison. "But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." There we have the difference between a created being that was created as a flame of fire. We see them for their force and their power that is given to them. But to Christ, you compare the fire of the angels to the majestic glory of the throne of God. Compare it to the majestic glory of the throne of God. I thought, how could you compare anything as the difference between, here you've got the angels that are a flame of fire to the throne of God. I thought, you know, what if I had a candle, a wax candle, and I lit the fire, and there's that fire, and there's that light that it's putting out, and they found that to be very useful. But how about if you held that up to the sun? The sun that is heating and lighting our world around us. That is I can't even comprehend what the sun is. Because of the, you read about it, it's putting off, and yet, could I compare a little candle, a little fire, to the huge sun, and all that it's putting out? It's incomparable. Christ, who has created, he has his angels as ministers of flaming fire, but look at Christ. Look at Christ. We compare it with the throne. It's almost like if I would be flexing my great muscles. Can you see a little bulge? Well, it's pretty little. If I was flexing my great muscles against the power of Superstorm Sandy, you know? You know, it's just like, hey, there's no comparison whatsoever. That's what we're seeing as we go through this, as we compare Christ with the angels. He is the incomparable Christ. He is the incomparable Christ. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath appointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." It starts out speaking of his righteousness, his holiness, his He is, well, I think of the words of the Father when he spoke to him there when Christ came to his baptism. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This one that is righteous, this one that is holy, this one that it says is anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Above all else, he was the only one that was able to, that was holy and righteous and able to bear our sins because of his holiness and his person. What does it say about him? It says, thou Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. He's emphasizing again, he is the creator. He is the creator. Think of Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. But O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? The angels were just creation of God. They were created. Christ is the creator. John 1:3, we've looked at this before. He said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The angelic host are the created spirits of the Almighty God, the creation of the Almighty Son. Can you compare the created with the Creator? It is incomparable. One is the one that makes, the other is just the recipient of it. Yes, he is the creator. He is the creator. He is the incomparable Christ. The incomparable Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12. We see him there as the unchangeable one. The word, the immutable, unchangeable. He's talked about in verse 10 of the foundations of the earth, the heavens, and the works of his hands. He's talking about all of creation, the works of his hands, his creation, all that is created, heavens and earth. And what does he say? They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Everything changes but God himself. He is the only unchangeable one. That word immutable, he is the only immutable, the unchangeable one. That is his character, that is his essence, that's who he is. You know, when you look at that, all that we see and know around us will be gone. All that we see and know around us will be gone. It will perish. It will perish. You've worked and labored, sought to have a place to live, sought to have a home, sought to make it as long-lasting as possible. I look at the way we build here in the States and think of how they built, you know, when we were over in Greece, and you see they built to last for hundreds and hundreds of years. We build to last if it's 100 years old. They build new buildings here. They build schools, and if it's 20 years old, we're going to have to tear it down and build new. You know, that's another story. I got off on a rabbit trail there, but it don't matter whether it's built for 1,000 years to last that long, there's coming a time when it's going to be gone. It's coming a time when everything that we now see and know, the scripture lets us know that this the earth and the created heavens as we know them, they're going to be gone. And there's going to be the creation of a new heavens and a new earth. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Because it says there in that verse, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. I was talking to Brother Mazzy here between Sunday school and church, and he was just mentioning how, you know, we've placed our whole destiny upon God's word and what God has said. We've trusted our eternal souls and what God has said. You know, God has shown himself to be true. When we look at those Old Testament scriptures and we see how everything was perfectly fulfilled, even as God has said, we trust the same in what he said is going to be in the future. Our trust, our confidence is in him because he is the same and his years shall not fail. He is the incomparable Christ. The incomparable Christ. Let's look at the last verses. Verses 13 and 14. We'll see here the difference between Lord and ministering spirits. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is immutable, unchangeable, the one who will not fail, he is on the right hand of the Father. He is in power on the throne. He is Lord. He is Lord. Romans 14:11 says this, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. He says of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. You see, men who today deny Christ and will not bow the knee, they will someday bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow because he is Lord. We live in a day of grace. We live in a day when the Lord in his mercy and grace, while we are yet in our sins, he has not cast us out. He has not sent us into everlasting damnation. But he gives to us the precious word of God. He calls us unto himself. He lets us know what he has done. He gives us the opportunity of bowing before him or waiting until later and bowing before him in judgment when we're cast out of his sight. Yes, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We come to the last book in the Bible in Revelation chapter 19 and 15. It says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he will smite the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of his wrath, the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There, you see, he is the God of heaven. He's our creator. we're accountable unto him. We will stand before him, either forgiven, washed through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus, through the blood of Christ, or we'll stand before him in judgment, as this verse in Revelation speaks of. There is Lord. And the angels, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? They are merely his servants, created by him. They're ones that are sent on his behalf to minister to those who are the heirs of this wonderful redemption purchased by his blood. Oh, I'm happy for the angels. I'm happy for those that the Lord sends. And sometimes the scripture says sometimes we entertain them unaware. I think of Psalm 34. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I joy in angels. I joy that I can say that, and I've read that scripture to some of you as you have been going into surgery or in some particular hard case, to say the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. You know, that's they are sent as his ministering spirits. We don't see them usually, but they're his ministering spirits. But he is Lord. He is Lord. He is the incomparable Christ. There's no comparison between Lord and those that he sends forth to minister on his behalf. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen a name that is incomparable. Son, one that is God himself. We have seen the one that is worshiped and the only one worthy of worship compared to the ones who are the worshiper. We have seen the throne of God in comparison with the spirits of fire. We've seen the Creator compared to the created. We've looked at the immutable Christ, the unchangeable one that will never change. And we see him Lord over all, that every knee shall bow to him in comparison to those that are sent to minister to him. Yes, angels are wonderful, marvelous creatures of God, spirits he's created. We thank God for his angels. But angels are incomparable to Christ, the Son of God. What have you done with Christ? Bow before him now while there's opportunity. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Many of you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You know who he is. You've put your faith and trust in him. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. There is none other to worship. Men have bowed down before all kinds of things around the world. They have made images and bowed down to him. They have taken and taken men and sought to worship them. But there is only one that we can worship, that is the Creator, that is our God, and that has given to us eternal life through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross, the one who the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is none other to worship. He is the incomparable Christ. Will you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? And will you recognize who this Christ is, whom you love and whom you serve? We're learning of Christ. What a blessed book, this book of Hebrews, as it just gives to us the marvel of our Savior, the incomparable Christ. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word today. Oh, thank you for revealing to us the wonder of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, Lord, let us not get our thoughts and minds and our worship out of place by worshiping or looking to a created being instead of the Creator. Lord, you know the heart's need of each one here today, and how we pray that you might draw any, Lord, that are here without Christ to thee. And Lord, those who know thee, Lord, may you fill our hearts with joy and adoration as we look upon our Savior today. And may we follow thee with all of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.